Ahmed Habib Abd Atalan, the son of Rebecca and Osman Atalan, became uglier as he grew older. But he was very clever. He attended Cairo University, where he studied law. He fell in with a group of politically active fellow students who were violently opposed to the British occupation of their country. He devoted the rest of his life to the same jihad against that hated nation and empire as his father. He was a German supporter during both World Wars and spied for Erwin Rommel in the Second. He was an active member of the Revolutionary Command Council in the bloodless coup that ousted the Egyptian King Farouk, the British puppet. Rebecca's daughter Karuba remained small, but she became more beautiful with every year that passed. At an early age, she discovered in herself an extraordinary talent for dancing and acting. For 20 years, she burned bright as a meteor across the stages of all the great theatres of Europe. With her wild, free spirit, she became a legend in her own lifetime. Her lovers, both men and women, were legion. Finally, she married a French industrialist who manufactured motor cars, and they lived together in regal state and pomp in their palatial mansion in Deauville. The Caliphate Abdullahi escaped from Omdurman, but Penrod Ballantyne and his camel corps pursued him relentlessly for more than a year. In the end, he deigned to run no further. With his wives and devotees around him, he sat on a silk carpet in the centre of his camp in the remote wilderness. When the troops rushed in, he offered no further resistance. They shot him dead where he sat. The tomb of the Mahdi was razed to the ground. His remains were exhumed, and his skull was turned into an inkwell. It was presented to General Kitchener, who was horrified. He had it reburied in a secret grave in the wilderness. After the Battle of Omdurman, Kitchener became the darling of the empire. He was rewarded with a peerage and a huge money grant. When the Boers in South Africa inflicted a series of disastrous defeats on the British army, Kitchener was sent to retrieve the situation. He burnt the farms and herded the women and children into concentration camps. The Boers were crushed. During the First World War, Kitchener was promoted to Field Marshal and Commander-in-Chief to steer the empire through the most destructive war in all human history. In 1916, while he was on board the cruiser Hampshire en route to Russia, the ship struck a German mine off the Orkneys. He drowned at the high noon of his career. Sir Evelyn Baring became the first Earl of Cromer. He returned to England, where he spent his days writing and, in the House of Lords, championing free trade. Nazira helped to raise all the children of the three Benbrook sisters. This occupied most of her time and energy, but what remained she divided impartially between Bakshit and Yakub. Bakshit and Yakub pursued their vendetta for the rest of their lives. Bakshit was referred to by his rival as the despicable lecher. Yakub was the Yalan assassin. In their later years, they took to frequenting the same coffee house where they sat at opposite ends of the room, smoking their water pipes, never addressing each other, but deriving great comfort from their mutual antagonism. When Bakshit died of old age, Yakub never returned to the coffee house. Ryder Courtney's cotton acres flourished. He invested his millions in Transvaal gold and Mesopotamian oil. He doubled and redoubled his fortune. In time, his mercantile influence encompassed almost all of Africa and the Mediterranean. But to Saffron, he remained always a benign and indulgent husband. General Sir Penrod Ballantyne went to South Africa on Kitchener's staff and was present when the Boers surrendered at the Peace of Vereeniging in the Transvaal. In the First World War, he rode with Allenby's cavalry against the Ottoman Turks in Palestine. He fought at Gaza and Megiddo, where he won further honours. He continued to play first-class polo well into his 70s. He and Amber lived in their house on the Nile, and in it raised a large family. Amber and Saffron outlived both their husbands. They grew ever closer as the years passed. Amber flourished as an author. Her novels faithfully captured the romance and mystery of Africa. She was twice nominated for the Nobel Prize for Literature. Saffron's marvellously colourful paintings were hung in galleries in New York, Paris and London. Her Nile series of paintings was eagerly sought by wealthy collectors on two continents and commanded enormous prices. Picasso said of her, She paints the way a sunbird flies. But they are all gone now. For in Africa, only the sun triumphs eternally.